happy Resurrection Sunday to everybody. So excited about the life of Jesus that is coursing through your veins. If you're a Christ follower, the sky's the limit. Really. Like you're going to the sky. That'll be like your final place when you're done. Right? It just kind of came to me. And in this life, the sky's the limit. God has incredible things for those who are followers of His, whose lives are yielded to Him, whose hearts are surrendered. And it is a glorious thing to serve a risen Savior. Amen? Amen? I saw a meme. I did not look this up. I'm a pastor. I should probably know these things. But I saw something like a meme. If it's true or not, it's got to be close. There's 4,200 religions in the world, but there's only one empty tomb. Come on. There's a pile of them, regardless, but there's only one empty tomb. Come on, there's only one empty tomb. There's only one way, there's only one guy who is the Son of God, guy in quotation marks, he's the Son of God, the Son of Man, right? God incarnate, man, the man God, like the mystery of that. We're like, how does that work? I don't know, but it did, and it does. And so we're so excited to talk about the exciting process that Jesus is doing in all of our lives. And Easter Sunday is a great day to talk about that. So a promise that you've probably never heard a title to an Easter sermon quite like this before. I'm getting ready to put up the title screen here, which is just words. But the title of today's message is Death, Life, and Zombies. And just to let you know, I'm not a zombie guy. Like, I run into conversations all the time where people are just enamored with all the zombie movies and zombie shows. And the only ones I really probably like the Scooby-Doo or Gilligan's Island, kind of like the, you know, like the old school, kind of just the old zombies. I guess it's a thing now. The zombie apocalypse is something that we're all kind of concerned about, I guess. I don't know. I missed the memo, but so if you know a lot about zombies, you don't need to tell me. I don't really need to know, but people get really excited about that kind of stuff. So we're going to talk about death, life, and zombies on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday. So let's talk about death for a second. And we're going to try to put this whole story of what today is about kind of in a context that makes sense to you. Hopefully makes sense to me. All right. So in Romans 5:12, we got a bunch of different scriptures, a bunch in Romans that we're going to hit. And we're just going to kind of walk through these and just explain what's going on and give you some hope and some hopefully just kind of excitement for what God wants to do in our lives. So Romans 5:12 says this. So we're talking about death. Therefore, just as sin entered. Wait a minute. If you enter a room, what does that mean? It means where are you at before you enter? You're not in the room. So sin was not in the world, okay? But sin entered the world through one man. What was his name?
Adam.
Yeah, through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to how many people?
All.
Say it again.
All.
Death came to all people because how many people sinned?
All.
Raise your hand if you're included in all today. If you're not, you're not listening. You are included in all. Therefore, we've got this perfect place, this world without sin. And sin entered. How did sin enter? Because God wasn't looking. He wasn't watching. Because God wasn't aware. God got caught off guard. No, God gave authority to mankind. And mankind fumbled the ball, right? We got caught up in looking at something and that we shouldn't have been looking at. And so, therefore, sin entered this perfect realm that God had made for us. And when you look around at the world today, guys, just remember this verse, Romans 5:12, right? Romans 5:12, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. When you are looking, when you're wondering why, well, if God's so loving, why does he make a world that's so full of hatred and fill in the blanks? It's because God didn't make it that way. God made it perfect. We mess it up. And then there was this entryway, this on-ramp into this perfect realm for sin to come in. And once sin came in, death came. Physical death, spiritual death. We were created to live forever. Nobody wants to die. We all want to live forever. And you will live forever. It's just, are we going to have eternal life or eternal death and damnation, right? But Jesus came so that we might have eternal life. But we find out that at the beginning of all this, we all got thrown in and lumped into the same category. All sinful.
Yeah.
Death came to all people. Okay? So we're all the same in that regard. Spiritually, we're all starting at the same place. Does that make sense? The same place. No one's more spiritually ahead of you when we start. Before Christ, before you know Jesus, we are all at the same place. We're all at the same level. We all have been given over to sin and death. So let's talk about being powerless. Anyone ever felt powerless? I hate that feeling. That is a frustrating feeling. You just don't know what to do because you can't change the situation. Let's talk about being powerless. So we know that we all were sinful. We all got introduced to death. Death came to all of us. And we read in Romans 5, 6 through 8, we read this. You see, at just the right time. Do you remember how many were here last week? Raise your hand if you were here last week. A few of you were here last week. It was Palm Sunday. We were talking about Passover and talked about that book where the guy counted out the days. And Jesus, at just the right time, showed up, and how that prophecy was fulfilled to the day as Jesus was entering Jerusalem on the donkey. Man, that was so beautiful. And we see this in Romans 5 here. At just the right time, when we were still what?
Powerless.
We were still powerless. And at that time, Christ died for the good guys, right? Christ died for the people that got it together. Christ died for you neat people, not for those losers. He died for you wonderful people. It's not what the Bible says. Christ died for the who? Ungodly. You don't like when I call you ungodly. You get annoyed with that. You write me nasty letters, or at least in your head you do, right? But the Bible's telling us that Jesus died for you, the ungodly. Huh. Make this personal. This isn't just a Bible story. It's not just a theology concept. You were ungodly, and Jesus died for you. Very rarely, it says in Romans 5, will anyone die for a righteous person? Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's what we celebrate on Good Friday. We celebrate the death of Jesus. We celebrate that he went to the cross for your sins and for my sins. We celebrate that he paid the price that we couldn't pay. Like, we had to borrow from Jesus to pay our debt. And that's essentially, when you get saved, that's what you're doing. You're borrowing from Jesus. We don't have it. In fact, we're not even good for it, right? You always want to borrow from someone. You're like, hey, listen, I'm good for it. Yeah. Like, we're borrowing from Christ, from his righteousness, from his goodness, from his sacrifice, from his payment for your sin and for my sin. And we would love to say, hey, Jesus, I'm good for it. But we're not. We're not. Even with the best of intentions, even with a life sold out and dedicated to Jesus, we couldn't in 1,000 lifetimes pay the price that needed to be paid. He had to lead a sinless life to pay that price for us. So that's talking about death. Let's talk about life. We're going to talk about life. Okay, so this is Resurrection Sunday, right? What did Jesus do on Resurrection Sunday? Rose. He came alive. Like, he didn't just like lift up. Like, he went from being dead to coming alive. He came alive. Now, other people have been raised from the dead before, but he came back to life and stayed alive. He's the only one that came into eternal life, right? And we're all going to do that someday. We read in Romans 4, 25, he was handed over to die because of somebody else's, my nasty neighbor's sins, right? Right? John, it was Alicia's sins, right? Right? No, it was my sins. It was John's sins. It was Jim's sins. It was my sins. It was your sins. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Let that settle into your spirit this morning. This morning, we're celebrating that you get to be... I know we don't believe that. I know it because I know my own heart. I have conversations with you. Like, we know it in our head, but it's hard for our hearts to believe that I'm right with God. Wow. often we talk about, because anyone ever made a mistake before? Right? Just one? Okay, a couple of us made one mistake. And it's so easy for us to get into guilt and condemnation. You got to know this. Without Christ, you're destined for an eternity in hell, no matter how good you're trying to be. But with Christ, because of his blood, you've been made right with God, and heaven is your destiny, no matter how bad you've been. Now we get to live for him. So he was raised to life to make us right with God. Let's read a couple more verses. 1 Peter 3:18 says this, "For Christ also suffered for sins once for everyone, for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, so that he might bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." We're just giving you some context for Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. It's this death of Jesus that had to pay for our sins, and then there's this life of God that, as he was made righteous, that is making us right with God, and he was made alive by the Spirit. So we're talking in this section right now about, we talked about death before, now we're talking about life. How many people were given over to death? Just in case we forgot from six minutes ago. How many people were given over to death? All. Now we're talking about the potential for all who would surrender to be brought over to life. Okay? So In Romans 5 it says, yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, brings guilt, it brings judgment for everyone. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God. And what else does it bring? New life. Say new life. New life. Come on, say it like you mean it. New life. New life. Christ's one act brings new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. Let's keep going here in Romans 5. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, sin ruled over how many people?
All.
Are we seeing a theme here this morning? Sin ruled over how many people?
All.
Okay, I think we got about a third of the crowd today. It's Easter Sunday. I know you're thinking about the pot roast or whatever you got, but just hang with me for a couple more minutes. Sin ruled over how many people?
All.
Thank you. Sin ruled over all people. Sin reigned, was the boss of all people, come on, and brought them to death. Now, say now.
Now
God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the one. Jesus is the one. We're all in the same boat. We're all stuck in the power of sin and death. But those who come to Christ get the opportunity to have eternal life. And like I said earlier, eternal life doesn't start when I get to heaven. Eternal life starts now. It's the life of Christ that comes and changes me. See, Jesus is the only one who can offer the life that we're all searching for. We are all looking for that life, and we don't all have words for it. We don't know what it is we're looking for, but we know something's missing. And everyone is on that quest. We're all looking for that life. All right. The next section, freedom from death, okay? So we talked about death, we talked about life. So now we're talking about freedom from death, okay? But we're also talking about freedom in death. And that's the little section that Stephen read out of the newsletter today. That's I'm expanding on that a little bit. So Romans 6 now says this, "Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ in baptism, we joined him in his death?" We don't talk about that a lot in church. How many have been baptized? Okay. When you surrender your life to Jesus, you, as an act of obedience, we get baptized. And it says, "For we died." Look at your neighbor and say, "You dead." You died. You died and you were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we'll also be raised to life as he was. We're talking this morning about the glorious, it seems weird on a Friday night to celebrate the death of Jesus. He died. Gross. His flesh was ripped, crown of thorns, nails, right? Spear in his side, blood flowed. Take his body off the cross, throw him in a grave. Man, it's just morbid. But we are so excited about the death of Jesus, because not only did the death of Jesus pay for my sins, it allows me to die. The old me. The me that doesn't like you, right? The me that is looking out for me. The me that wants to do the stuff for me. That me gets to die with Jesus. We don't talk about that a lot. The me that is the bad me gets to die with Jesus. That's a good thing, right? How weird would it be if you went to the hospital and you found, because you just you've been, your health has been going downhill and been going downhill and been going downhill, and you get some x-rays, CAT scans, and MRIs, right? And I don't know, whatever else they do. Holly, like machines and
blood tests.
Blood tests, yes, exactly. Yep, other tests we don't even want to think about, right? They take all those things and they find out you've got a creature living in you. Okay. And it's continuing to kill you.
Right?
Right? How many would not like a creature living in you? Okay. I do not. Right? And no, and then that really kind of is true. We've got bad bacteria in us. We've, sometimes there's cancer cells in us. Sometimes there's, you know, other organisms that come in and reside in tapeworms. I don't know. I mean, there's all kinds of spiders. Like, I'm trying to remember who that was. Someone I know. Oh, I remember someone had a spider that made a thing in their ear. No one's going to sleep tonight. Right? We have creatures that want to, like literally, that want to come and live in our body and cause harm. How awesome would it be if you went to the hospital, they found that out, and they said, you know what we're going to do for all of this today? We're going to cancel your debt. You are not going to owe anything for this hospital bill. Have a great week. Yeah, I got a spider in my ear. Yeah, but you don't owe us anything for that. You've been forgiven. And in fact, when you die, you get to go to heaven. That's great, but I didn't necessarily go to the doctor. Like, I could have stayed home and not had a hospital bill to begin with. So if we go to the hospital, we get all the tests. They're like, yep, you've got a creature in you. It's debilitating you. It's causing you to do things you don't want to do. It's wreaking havoc on all of your systems. It's really causing death. But you know what? Clean slate. We'll take care of the bill. Have a great Easter. Could you do something about the alien in my guts, right? How many would want more done than just the bill paid for? Right? It's great that someone paid for the bill, and that's not a great analogy, but Jesus paid the price by his death. But then he also offered the remedy for the creature within us to die. Connecting the dots, the creature within us is the old you. It's the old you that wants your way. It's the old you that's trying to get away with something. It's the old you that's grouchy, grumpy, and snarly, and mean. It's the old you that's full of unforgiveness. It's the old you that wants revenge. It feels like you, but it's the old you. And through the cross, through the death of Jesus, we get an out. We get an escape. If we're not joined with Jesus, we've just got light, right? What if they, instead of killing those creatures, they're just like, we're going to give you some vitamin D. It'll help you smile more. Okay. And these vitamins make you really strong. Then we're going to give you this new medication. Helps you grow more muscle and have more energy. I'm like, okay. All right. See you next week. Wait a minute. There's still a creature inside of me. Right, exactly. Yeah. We're going to give you some vitamins, but call your pastor instead. What I'm getting at is the life of Christ would be the vitamins, the, like, okay, we're going to make you healthier, But you still got this creature in you that is debilitating you, causing you to do bad things, right? And that is our sin nature. I know I'm kind of like going in circles here, but I want us to get this because we don't talk about this a lot. The death of Christ allows us to be united with him in death so that that evil creature within us, that old self, can die. Hold your fist up in the air and go, die. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 4 says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life may also be revealed in our body. Wait a minute. It sounds like there's almost a pattern here. We carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. See, you know what? If you don't go through with the death part of it, that life is going to be stifled out. And then you're just going to look mean, nasty, selfish, jealous, ugly, right? Well, I thought you were a Christian. I love Jesus and I'm trying. But that old creature, that alien inside of you, right? That those tapeworms and bugs and spiders in your ear, they're just trying to keep taking over your body. I know it sounds weird, okay? But it's true. That old nature is in all of us. Because how many were given over to sin and death? How many? All. You all got the alien inside of you that needs to die. And the death of Jesus lets us, it gives us permission, it gives us the access to let the old man die and let the new man live. Let the old woman die, let the new woman live. Let the old child die, let the new child live. Life. We carry around the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Romans 6:6-8 says this. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified. That sounds like death to me. We're crucified with our old sinful selves, the old us. It was crucified with Christ so that what? So that what might happen? So sin might lose its power in our life. Because how strong is something that's dead? Right? It's got no more power. And we want to kill off that old us by the cross. We know that our old selves were crucified with Christ. And further on in this verse, it says, we're no longer slaves to sin. You do not have to be stuck. That's good news. We are no longer. See, you were by default. Do you remember? In a message that I preached one time today, earlier, about 10 minutes ago, I said that we were all given over and under the control of sin. How many people were slaves to sin? Thank you. Thank you. We're getting that. Everyone was like, you start your little cute baby birth. You start your third grade year in school. You start your junior high years. You start on your wedding day. If you don't know Jesus, your starting place is a slave to sin. That's where you start. Everyone starts there. If you don't deal with that issue, you're still going to be a slave to sin. The cross and the death of Jesus lets us, gives us permission, gives us access to let the old man die. Die. Get out of here, you stinky old thing. Right? For we died with Christ and we were set free. Say set free. Come on, set free. We were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we also will live with him. Come on. That death brings life. So what about zombies? Let's talk about zombies. Okay? What is a zombie? What is a zombie? It's the undead. Like, what should they be?
Dead.
Okay. What should a zombie be?
Dead.
Okay, come on. Say it with me. What should a zombie be?
Dead.
It should be dead. That's why it's a zombie. It's not. So, I don't know. I guess there's like fast zombies and slow zombies and I don't know. Someone was trying to explain it to me once. I'm like, I'm not ever going to watch it. So I don't even really need to know. All I need to know is just, I don't want to be one. Okay. But zombies are supposed to be dead and they're not. They're the undead. And we read in Romans 6 verse 10, when he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God, talking about Jesus. So you also should consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Let me read a couple more verses here. Romans 6, 12 through 13, it just continues on. Do not let sin control the way that you live. Let me read it again for those of you who weren't paying attention. Do not let sin control the way that you, one more time. Do not let sin control the way that you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument for evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. And a lot of us Christians are Christian zombies. Because the death of Jesus Christ on the cross provided the way for the old man to die. And it says, consider yourself dead to sin. Yeah, that preach is good. But you know what? That part of me that the Bible calls dead, guess what? Turns into a zombie. It's the undead. The Bible says it's dead, and we're supposed to consider that part of us dead. But guess what happens? When I'm tired and cranky, I'm like, I want my way, not your way. Jealous, angry, bored, overeat and get drunk. Okay, need some porn. Give me some porn. Want to see some pictures? Well, you got quiet on that one, didn't you? Yeah, yeah. Can't talk about that on Easter Sunday for crying out loud. What are we doing here? Grudges, right? That zombie, the old man who's supposed to be dead, is the undead walking in us. I hope that grosses you out and you get a very clear picture of what your cute little sins do for you. Ouch. Pastor says, ouch. It's the undead. It's supposed to be dead. It's not dead. You need to get dead. But the power of Christ lets us be crucified with him. See, we've always heard this. You have to go through Good Friday to get to Easter Sunday, right? That's kind of the famous saying. But this is also true. You have to experience the death of Christ to live in his life. You have to experience the death of Christ to fully live in his life. And guys, so many of us, we want Jesus. I want Jesus. Give me Jesus. I love Jesus, right? Because I just don't want to feel ishy no more. I love Jesus. And then we're like, right? Pastor, can you pray for me? And you want all the blessings of heaven, but not the death of Christ. Guilty. I want Jesus to be my dessert and the cherry on top and bless you, my son. Oh, you're going to have a good life. Oh, I'm going to answer your prayers like nobody's business. Man, this is going to be so good. You're just going to be happy and wonderful. And meanwhile, we got a zombie that's wrecking our life. And we're just like, but Jesus, and he's like, do something with the zombie. But help me, God. Just the zombie. Kill the zombie. Yeah, but I kind of want to do what I want to do, but I want you to bless me. Right? Just me? Is that just me? Okay. All right. Fine. We just see how evil pastor is. I get it. Should there be anyone else in the crowd that has ever experienced this? Me and you were together on this. I don't want to die with Christ. And I'm not talking about physically die. Sometimes that happens as well, but I'm talking about the death of my desires, some of my dreams, hopes even. If they're not of God, if not what God wants, I want to hang on to everything I want to do, like left to my own. If that zombie is around, that zombie's like, I want to do what I want to do. I want to say what I want to say. I want to be mean to whoever I want to be mean to. I want to be jealous about what I want to watch, what I want to watch. I want to think what I want to think. God bless me. Right? And it doesn't work like that. Jesus said, if you want to enter into life, then you got to experience the death. And some of us today, you need a good killing. Right? You just need a good killing. I mean, you need the Holy Spirit and a 12-gauge shotgun and just like kill us, God. Because that's where our real life starts. When the zombie's there, he's just wrecking stuff. Anyone ever had the zombie wreck things for you? Come on. If you know what I mean, the old self crops up, destroys relationships, gets you into more bondage, gets you stuck in sin. Man, don't mess with that. Don't let the zombie have any control. Oh, look, Pastor, what the devil's doing. That's the zombie. The devil didn't even need to show up. Satan's coming around. He's like, oh, no, they're good. my way. Right? The zombie wants to keep cropping up. That old man that's supposed to be dead. A couple more verses. Romans 5:17 says this: "For the sin of one man, of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater, say even greater, even greater is God's wonderful grace, His gift of righteousness. For all who will receive it will live in triumph." Yes. Come on. The old man gonna stay dead. Ain't gonna be no zombies in my life. We'll triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. And since Romans 5:9-11 says, "And since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son, while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son." So now we can rejoice. Come on. We can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God. Guys, this is all in the Bible. Most of this is in Romans. This is what Paul is telling us. You got new life here because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Jesus don't want to be hanging out with no zombies. Come on. You got new life in you. Don't go back to the old. Don't let that undead thing stay in your life. Just shut up. Crucified. One more slide and we're done. But I just want you guys to know today, there is death available for you. You don't have to raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But anyone ever struggled with something that you just couldn't seem to shake, can't seem to break in your life? Jesus is the chain breaker. You know how He breaks it? He kills it off. Come on. I want to die today. God help me to die. Paul says, "I die daily. I die daily." You know why? Right? Because it's in all of us. And that zombie's always wanting to show up when it's supposed to be dead. And we got to keep saying, "No, you die." Last slide. Watchman Nee says, "Our old history ends with the cross. Our new history begins with the resurrection." Come on. You guys, you got a brand new day today. This is a brand new day. It's a great day for zombies to die. Come on. No zombie apocalypse at COC today. We are killing them dead, and we are expecting the old man, the old person, the old way of life to die, and the new life of Christ to fill our lives. Our sins are paid for. We're made right with God. We've got a new destiny. That is such good news. That is such good news. So if you're here today and you need some killing to happen, right? Like, just agree with the word of God. Say, "Okay, God." But the first step is you have to know Jesus, okay? If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, you got to walk through the cross. And it's easy to pray a prayer and it's easy to say, "God, be the Lord of my life." But included in that is your death. Be Lord of my life, but included in that is your death. And God will work with you. He's not expecting you to be perfect tomorrow, but He is expecting His word to work in you and for zombies to go away, right? And so if you don't know Jesus this morning, just invite Him in. Just say, "God, I don't know what this all means, but I know that the way I'm doing it isn't working, and I want to surrender to You." And He will answer so gloriously and so wonderfully. He'll give you the power to crucify that old man, the old way, the things you were stuck in. A lot of us don't want to admit that we're stuck. I know. I said I was done, and I'm not being done. I lied to you. We don't like to admit that we're stuck. We don't like to admit that there's zombies going on. If you don't know Christ, we don't like to admit that we're a slave. Who wants to? Yeah, I'm a slave. We don't want to admit that we're stuck. We don't want to admit that we're powerless. But when we understand the truth of God's word, He paints a clear picture of our condition. If you don't know Christ, I don't care how many grannies you helped across the street. I don't care, right, how many rescue puppies you've got, right? I don't care how many homeless people you've fed. It doesn't matter. You're still powerless. You're still a slave to sin. Invite Jesus in to come and break those chains. Kill that old man off and give you new life. Just say, Jesus, I believe you. I believe you died on the cross and you were buried in the grave. And then on the third day you rose. I don't know what to do, but I know I want to give you my life. I don't know what that means, but God, I give you my life today. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean in Jesus' name. It's as simple as that, as starting your journey with God and then just giving him permission to continue to work, continue to kill off that old man that keeps wanting to raise up, and let the life of Christ live in us. Amen? All right, everyone say, no zombies. Amen. Father, I pray for this group of people today. Thank you for Resurrection Sunday. Thank you for the life of Christ. Thank you that you came out of the grave. And thank you, God, that you've given us power over death, hell, the grave, and living zombies. We put it to death today, and we embrace the life of Christ. Help us to live for you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen.